power hour. It's the what? Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crust out your eyes, we about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept, line upon line, the scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Hey, shalom, Israel, Most High in Christ, bless. Welcome to another edition of the Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I'm your host for this Wednesday evening, Captain Amariah, and today with me,
Soldier Raphael.
All right, and as you can see, today's topic is the name, the Hebrew, or the law.
Hebrew.
Which one of these brings you salvation? So now, I was compelled to do this topic because this is my ninth year now in this truth. Right. January of 2012. Yeah, so this is my ninth year in the truth now, right? And I was like I was telling you before we went live, these topics come back over and over and over and over again, right? Because you got all these naysayer camps that are trying to get some shine and trying to be relevant, pushing something to the people. Looking for the secret sauce, but the secret sauce is the commandments and the faith in Christ.
Right.
That's all it is. So, again, the topic is the name, the Hebrew, or the law. What brings you salvation? Let's start with 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, like I always do. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. One of my favorite scriptures, something that we all should meditate on daily. Right, Paul was definitely in the spirit when he wrote this.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith.
So self-examination, unbeknownst to a lot of people, is a spiritual gift, right? And this spiritual gift is not bestowed on somebody that comes in and they're 3 weeks old or 3 months old or 3 years old. This gift is bestowed on those that are seeking salvation in Christ, walking in these commandments daily to be able to say, you know what, this is where I fall short, and this is what I need to build myself up. Because I hear other foolishness too. Oh, I'm ready for this, and I'm righteous because of this. The more you've been in this, the more you realize how unrighteous you actually are.
Right.
Because you measure yourself to the laws. Like how Paul said, listen, I would have not known lust unless the law said, thou shalt not covet.
Right.
Right, but reading from the top.
Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves?
It says prove your own selves, right? And that's the other thing, too. Is I got people that say, oh, I just want to make sure that this is the truth before I say it to my mom or my dad or my brother or whoever.
Right.
Because our natural affinity is to our family and close friends, right?
Right.
Which is fine, but we need to prove our own selves because at the end of the day, if my soul was lost based upon yours being saved, I'm going to choose my soul over yours any day.
Right.
And that's just how it is.
Right.
Right. It says prove your own selves. Know you're not your own selves because you know what you struggle with. Right. People like to say, I'm a discerner of spirits.
Wow.
I've heard that numerous times. I have the gift to discern spirits. I'm like, really? I can't look at nobody and say, you know what, brother, I think you struggle with smoking.
Right.
Or you know what, sister, I think you struggle with lust.
Right.
We don't have those gifts in these last days. Now, through counsel and questions that we ask people, We can gauge certain spirits.
Right.
But discerning spirits, I can't look at somebody and say, oh, man, that brother likes to eat ham.
Right.
On Sunday afternoons. It don't work like that. But we know, we should know our own selves enough to know, okay, listen, this is where I fall short, and this is what my salvation lies on, so this is where I need to be built up. Read.
How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
Because Jesus Christ is in every single last one of us as long as we're applying these commandments. So now, as we get into the class, we're going to discuss whether those commandments are predicated on the name, speaking a particular language, which in this case is the Hebrew, because we've heard that many times, right?
Right.
Or is it just keeping the laws? But first, let me get Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Because it says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Because coming to this truth, whether we be in the faith, based upon my opinion, and based upon your opinion, it could be two different things.
Right.
Your ideology of being a good person can be completely different from what my meant being a good person. Right. That's why the scripture says, subdue your own understanding,
right,
and then put on the whole armor of God. Right. Let God do the thinking for you. That's the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus. This Bible makes it very simple. It's the roadmap and the blueprint. Just live according to this, and you can never go amiss, ever. Right. But read that.
This is the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God.
It says, here is the patience of the saints. The saints are the 12 tribes of Israel. The natives, Hispanics, and blacks make up the 12 tribes of Israel. The Israelites, the Bible speaks of. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments. Read.
And the faith of Jesus.
So we keep the laws and our faith before we ushered in the new covenant was our faith was in that animal sacrifice. But you know Israel, right? Stiff neck and rebellious.
Right.
The Lord said, bring me a bullock or a goat or a turtle dove with no blemish.
Right.
We was bringing things that were mangled.
Three-legged goats.
Missing limbs, right? Okay. Blind.
Right.
You think the Lord's going to really, really, really honor that sacrifice?
Right.
No. He says, man, you know what? I need to have a more perfect covenant by the blood of my son. So that's the faith. When it says examine yourself, whether you be in the faith is whether you're walking according to the commandments that God said that we should walk in the beginning. Get that real quick. 2 John verse 6. 2 John verse 6. Lord's will, next week I'll get fancy and have some videos, right? Because I know that you're dying to.
This is the book of 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it.
From the very beginning, from Genesis 1 and 1, the commandments were always given to the nation of Israel. Now, although we weren't a nation at that time, the scripture says he declared the end from the beginning.
Right.
Right? So from the, that's how wonderful the Most High is, that he wrote Revelation before he even wrote Genesis. He wrote his script backwards. And from the very beginning, he says, listen, it's the commandments that's going to give you the salvation that you need in order to obtain the kingdom of God that will be here on earth. Right? So now, from there, again, it's the name, the Hebrew, or the law. Now, I was telling you before we came on the air that Bishop had played on the Sabbath class a few weeks back when a brother had got pulled over, right? Whether it's justly or unjustly, we can't call it. But the snippet that we took from that particular video was the fact that the woman that he was with was calling on
right.
a particular name that other BHIs call on. And by BHIs, I mean Black Hebrew Israelites.
Right.
By the way, the term Black Hebrew Israelite is nowhere in the Bible. Okay. That's why we classify them as BHIs, because they don't follow the scriptures. But again, that's a whole different topic, right? That wormhole was very deep and has many canals for me to go down. But listen, she was calling on the name of HaMashiach Yehoshai, right? Which I'm not saying it's a sin to do that, like how we talked about earlier.
Right.
Like there's no sin in that. I even told you what I say, that I even say Yehoshai,
right?
Right. Conscience safe for people that don't know me or know whatever, I don't want them to hear me say that and say, oh, you know, why is he calling on that certain name, whatever. Right. If you want to call me Hawashai or Jehovah or Yahushua or Elohim or what else is there?
I am.
I am that I am. And Ashaya Ahar Ashaya, right? I am that I am, okay? You can call him whatever you want. But when you start making it into a doctrine and say you have to call him this name,
right,
otherwise you won't be saved, that's not scriptural.
Right.
That is not biblical. Let's get, you know what? Let's start with Romans 3, verse 1 first.
All right.
Let's start there. Romans 3, verse 1. Let's see what the Apostle Paul said real quick. Romans 3, verse 1.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then have the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision?
It says, what advantage have the Jews, right? So what advantage is there to be a so-called native, a so-called Hispanic, and a so-called black? Read on.
Much every way.
Much every way. Much any way that you can possibly think of, we have the advantage. Although we don't see it now with the conditions that we're in, right? We're rattling Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter.
Right.
If we were ever equal or anything, you wouldn't have to voice those things in the first place.
Right.
That lets you know that we are the oppressed people that the Bible is talking about. But read on.
Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Chiefly, meaning mainly, because unto us were committed the Bible. Listen, if you want to subscribe to Islam, right?
Right.
You have to believe in Allah. And you have to follow the teachings of Islam,
right,
to get salvation, right? If you want to be a Buddhist, you got to subscribe to their writings and believe in Buddha.
Right.
Same thing with Hinduism. Same thing with any religion outside there. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the Bible, now you can believe in anything you want and believe whatever you want. But just say, Jesus.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Why is every religious book on earth authorized and authored to one specific group of people, but when it comes to the Bible, now it's a
universal book?
Universal. It's not. It was written by the Israelites for the Israelites. But read on.
For verse 3. For what if some did not believe?
But what if some don't believe? Because listen, there's many more that won't believe than actually do believe, right? For what if some believe, right? Because I'm pretty sure that your family and friends don't believe this, right?
Right. They think I'm in a cult.
Because when I came to this, they were like, really? You of all people? Of all the dirt that you did and all the wickedness that you were part of, you of all people?
Right.
I'm sure it was the same with you. I'm sure it was the same with Othniel. Same thing. Really? You? So what if some don't believe? It's not meant for them to believe at that particular time. Lord's will, the Lord grants them that opening and their understanding that they can come back to this. But there's going to be so many people that don't believe. The scripture says, as a wave crashes, that drop that falls from that wave,
right,
that's the number of people that will be saved versus that rest of the wave is going to be destroyed. So when you put it into that context, so what if some don't believe? Because they're not meant to believe. But read on.
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Shall their unbelief make what this Bible says null and void? Hell no. Everything the Bible says has, is, and will come to pass. And the thing that's funny about our people is that we can read Deuteronomy 28. Oh, slave ships. I see that.
Right.
I see that. We like the history aspect of it, but we don't like the application of the laws in modern times, because
right,
now it disciplines us, right? That's why we go by different things, and that's why we're going into class about the name, the Hebrew, or the commandments. Because people will lean on, listen, as long as I say Yahweh Shai or Ahaya Shar Ahaya, I'm going to get saved, and I don't have to keep no other commandments. I don't have to
right,
wear fringes. I don't have to have a beard. I can eat whatever I want because I'm going to come back as a newborn baby in the kingdom anyways.
Right. And that's the same as Christianity. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're going to be saved.
Right.
The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't support that thought.
It's a Christianity with a twist. That's why the scripture says that they have that form of godliness.
Right.
Right? but they can never come to the full understanding of the truth. And the truth is, the secret sauce is the commandments. That's all it is. Show me any other Israelite group out there with 1,000+ men unified doing the work of the Lord, and you can't do it.
All right.
You can't do it because they don't keep no commandments, because they rest upon names and languages. All and right. again, let me stress this. We're not saying a particular name is a sin or learning a language is a sin. It's not. But when you make that your doctrine that you have to do those things, there's no scripture that backs that. But read on with that.
For what if some did not believe? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar.
It says, let God be true and every man a liar. Read on.
As it is written.
As it is what?
As it is written.
It says, as it is written, read.
That thou mightest be justified in thy saying.
As it is written. We have to read the Bible as it is written. I'm not sure if you've seen it. Maybe you've seen it. I don't know. But you'll have these other camps. When they come past the scripture that says God, they'll say the power.
Oh, wow.
And the power said. And the power. And if you haven't seen it, all praises.
Right.
You don't need to window shop. Trust me. All praises. But they'll get to certain words and then they'll change it. Because they say, oh, God spoke backward as a dog and as degrading to the Most High.
Wow.
So they'll say, and the power. And the power said. It says, as it is written. So as it is written for us in this modern time, in the English that we speak, right, we call him Jesus. Because I remember the first time I ever heard this truth, ever. It was like a year before I even repented. And this brother was in the corner saying, oh, blacks and Hispanics are the Israelites. And I was like, what the hell are Israelites? But he kept saying Yahawashi. And I'm like, who the hell was Yahawashi?
Right.
Like, who was this guy that he's talking about? I'm like, eh, whatever. He's crazy. Whatever. And I just drove off. But now I know, okay, he was part of those groups that push a particular name, but it is what it is. Let's go to Exodus 3, verse 14. Like how you said earlier, I am that I am, right? Not knowing that the Lord is making a statement here, and he's not making a proclamation or a law here. He's just saying something in particular, right, to Moses, because Moses was like, yo, you're telling me to go take my people out of this ruling power, the most powerful power in the earth.
Right.
Right? The hand of Pharaoh and say what to them?
Right.
Because people like to read these things and think of all this mysticism and then like everything else. But you have to really think about it. It's kind of like when you read in Ezekiel 37, right? When the Lord asked Ezekiel, shall these bones live? And he was like, thou knowest, Lord.
Right.
Because he saw visions of the last days and was like seeing us twerking for Black Lives Matter,
right,
seeing the destruction of the household, seeing the effeminization of the man, seeing all these things out of order. And he was like, thou knowest, Lord. You know, like, I can't call it. I'm going to say no, but only you know. So it's the same thing when Moses was speaking to the Lord. He was like, yo, like, you're telling me to go to this dominant power and tell him, hey, let my people go. You think they're going to be okay with that?
Right.
So this is what he said. Verse 14.
This is the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
It says, I am that I am. Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya. Right?
Right.
Which today, we know it that as the Hebrew, meaning I am that I am.
Right.
But I guarantee you at this time, it wasn't pronounced Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya.
Right.
I guarantee that it wasn't. And I know that because, wait, hold that real quick. Let's go to Genesis. Go to the beginning. Let's go to the beginning real quick. Genesis 11 and verse 7. Let's get right to the point real quick.
This is the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
So when you read in Genesis 11, verse 1 on down, it gives you the history that basically people came together and said, you know what, let's build this tower and reach up to God to overthrow him, right? The same pomp that these nations and heathens have today is the same thing they had back then. There's nothing new under the sun, but the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to confound their language, because if they can't communicate, then they can't accomplish this mission, right? Like in the military, we say shoot, move, communicate.
Right.
If you can't communicate, then you can't do nothing.
Right.
If you have no comm, if comm's down, then you're useless to the mission. So prior to that, they all spoke one language. They were all one mind, one accord, speaking the same thing. So when he confounded it, everything we have after Genesis 11 up until now is this mishmash of I say tomato, you say tomato. I say potato, you say potato, right? It's all this conglomerate. That's why it's so funny. It's Northern Kingdom especially too, right? You got Simeon. They think that they speak better Spanish than Manasseh.
Right.
They think they speak better Spanish than Issachar, so on and so forth.
Right.
But no one has no pure tongue anymore, because that was of the Lord's design way back then. So when he says, I am that I am, you got to understand that he's making a statement to Moses here. He's not saying, oh, tell him my name is I am. Right. And Moses was like, okay, oh, I am. Okay.
Right.
Yes, sir. You got it. He was just saying, hey, listen, bro, I'm telling you to do something. Listen, I am that I am. I'm everything. I'm omnipotent. I'm everywhere. I'm omnipotent. I'm this. Just tell him I am sent you.
Right.
But then jump to verse chapter 6 and verse 2.
This is the book of Exodus, chapter 6 and verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them.
Uh-oh. See, now it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. That's letting you know that he told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that his name was God Almighty.
Right.
And he's given Moses a different name. Now, in the context of the class, we have to understand that these aren't names that he's given. These are titles.
Right.
So you mean to tell me that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel, ain't getting the kingdom? Bruh, they get in the kingdom.
Right.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are getting the kingdom.
Right.
They are the patriarchs that set up everything that you see in place today. But they didn't know him as that particular name. Let you know that there was no power in that name in the first place.
Right.
Listen, the reason why we have to wait on the name of the Lord is because the name of the Lord has so much power, it would kill us in our earthly vessels. Not only that, again, he declared the end from the beginning, right?
Right.
And he knew that we will be so disrespectful in these last days that we put up on chains, we'd get tattoos, jackets made with the name on the back, right? Graffiti. We wouldn't honor the name of the Lord,
right?
Just like we didn't honor his laws. So why would we honor his name?
Right.
It makes no sense. But read that again real quick. Verse 3.
Verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by the name Jehovah was I not known to them.
Let's go to Psalms 83. In the last verse, I think it's verse 18. Psalms 83 and verse 18, I believe it is.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 83, verse 18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth.
So there it is, the name Jehovah. That's where this doctrine comes from. The whole name doctrine is based upon a man that started the Jehovah's Witnesses religion, a man-made religion in the late 1800s to early 1900s, somewhere around there,
mm-hmm.
Right? Someone's going to have to fact-check me on this. But it was started by a Caucasian man that said, if you don't call on the name of Jehovah, then you won't be saved.
Right.
Meanwhile, clean face, right? Smooth shaving, no fringes. Pulled pork sandwiches.
None of the commandments being followed.
None of the commandments being followed, but Oh, it's the name. It's the name. The whole name doctrine thing, because we as a people in Israel, we were stripped from our heritage, right?
Right.
We were stripped from everything. And because we were left alone to fend for ourselves, now we have to go back and then pick up something else. So now we're adopting the customs of the white man, of the East Indian man, of the Arab man, of the Chinese man, so on and so forth. And one of the things that we adopted was, hey, we have to call on this name. That whole thing, that's not an Israelite doctrine. That's an oppressive doctrine that was given to us by slave master and said, you have to say Jehovah. And then what we do? We took it and we ran. Again, if you want to call him Jehovah, call him Jehovah. That's fine. But that's not what it means. From there, let's go to, what was that I said earlier? Acts 14. The book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. Because this is where they get this scripture from. Right? Acts 14. 12. When it says that there's no other name. I pulled it earlier. Now just hold that real quick. And just go to Hosea 2 verse 17. Hosea 2 verse 17.
This is the book of Hosea chapter 2 verse 17. For I will take away the name of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name.
It says that he would take the name of Baalim, meaning the name of the devil, will be taken out of the mouths of the Israelites in those last days. Because I'm calling him Yehoshua, you're calling him Yahweh Shai, this person calls him Joshua, this person calls him Jesus.
Right.
The Lord is reminding us, listen, call him whatever title you want, but in these last days, I need you to understand that you need to be keeping my commandments in the faith of my son in order to get that salvation, right? It says, I'm going to take those names of Baalim out of your mouth. No more, bro, we won't be in the kingdom and say, okay, listen, I believe on them. I told you earlier, I guarantee he wasn't like, hey, nice to meet you. My name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
It didn't happen like that, bro. Right. We know for a certainty when he walked the earth, his name was not Jesus Christ.
Right.
But when we go out and we teach the people, when we speak in these different languages and tongues, we have to understand that it's for the edification of the people. Just like how I was sitting there listening to somebody. He said black and Hispanic. It caught my attention. Right. But then kept saying the name Yahweh Shai. And I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's wicked as hell. I'm like, okay, I'm done. Drove off.
Right.
He lost me. I know now that wasn't the particular time the Lord called me. But it was just simply hearing that I was like, who the hell was Yahweh Shai?
Right.
I had never heard that before in my entire life. And at that time, I was 25. That's why when we come to people and say, hey, Jesus Christ. Because colloquially, they know that's what we call the Son of God.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
You can't edify anybody if they don't understand what you're saying.
Absolutely. Right. So let's get. Acts 4 verse 12. Thank you, producer.
It's the book of
Acts 4 verse 12. So this is what different camps pull. They'll pull this particular scripture to say, see, this is why you have to say whatever. But listen, I've heard this particular scripture pulled by numerous camps that use numerous names. So it's like, okay, so then what name is it then? Because you're pulling it and you're saying, I got to say Yahweh Shai. You're pulling it and saying, I have to say Yehuda. You're pulling it and saying, I have to say Yehoshua.
Right.
So then who's right?
Right.
That's why we wrote in Romans 3, let God be true and every man a liar. At the end of the day, it's as it is written. And if the Bible says, for me in my captivity here in America, where I speak English, that I say Jesus Christ, for the edification of my people to understand, then guess what I'm going to say?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ all day.
Right.
For my people to understand, oh, okay, you're talking about Jesus Christ. Okay. Hey, brother, you believe in Yahweh Shai? No.
Right. Now you'll be like, who is that?
Exactly. Who is that? It's going to raise more questions than it is edification. But read that. 4 verse 12.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven.
Uh-oh, there it is. See? Say there's no salvation, nor is there any other name. See, brother, you got your name. It's the name. The name is the secret sauce. Right? No. Read on.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
It says, see, you must say this name in order to be saved. Now, we tell people all the time to listen, read up or read down.
Right.
To get the understanding thereof in that particular chapter. Now, the Bible says precept must be upon precept. So we go to precepts as well, too, because that's how we're commanded by the Lord to understand this puzzle and this mystery. Right? But to understand this particular scripture, all you got to do is jump down to verse 18. It says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Read verse 18.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Uh-oh. That's what we call a cut.
Right.
That's what we call a cut. It said that they should not teach in the name of Jesus. It don't say Yahushua or Yehoshua or anything else. Again, listen, as it is written, the Bible says Jesus. So we have to say Jesus because colloquially, that's what our people understand here in these last days. All right. Let's go to Psalms. Now, you know what? Hold on real quick. Go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
It says, it shall come to pass. Moses is warning the Israelites when we're in, the wilderness, when we came out of captivity. So that's a key point. We came out of captivity, right? And let us know, listen, if you don't do these things, you're going to go right back into captivity.
Right.
Read on.
To observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day.
It says to observe and to do all these statutes and commandments, right? You won't find a commandment. Listen, the scripture says where there is no law, there is no transgression. That's why I don't get on brothers that say different names and vice versa. If you want to say whatever you want, say whatever you want. That's fine. But have your fringes. Keep your beard. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Take care of your wife. Take care of your kids. Have a job. Have all these things that encompass an Israelite man to better your nation. Put in the work for the Lord. All these things, right? All these things.
Read on. Statute, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So all these curses came upon us as a nation of people because we refused to do the commandments. It had nothing to do with us forgetting the name.
Right.
It had nothing to do with us not saying a particular language and saying, listen, you must speak Hebrew. If you want to learn Hebrew, this watered down, and that's a doctrine that I can't even relatively understand because Genesis tells you that our language was confounded.
Right.
So we don't even have the pure Hebrew.
Right.
Oh, no, brother. You see, if you go to the blue letter, listen, if you want to go to the blue letter, red letter, yellow letter, green letter, that's fine. But just do the commandments.
Right. And Isaiah 28 says he will speak to his people in another language.
We're going to get that.
Okay.
We're going to get that. But, like, my thing is, go to whatever letter you want to go to,
right,
applying any laws, then it's all null and void anyways, right? Let's go to Psalms 138 and verse 2. Someone said, what are fringes? If you read in the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter and the 38th verse on down, it tells you that fringes were given to us as a people to remember God's commandments, all right? So if you look at us out teaching and you see us out in the streets, you'll always see fringes with a border of blue. They're to remind us that the Lord gave us commandments to keep, not names to keep,
right,
or language to keep. Because guess what? He took those things from us. All right? But read that.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Right. Read it again. And I'll break it down. Read it again.
Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple.
So it says he will worship toward his holy temple, which we know is in Jerusalem. That's why we pray toward the east. We understand that that's the homeland that we were taken out of for our disobedience to the commandments of the Heavenly Father. Read on.
And praise thy name.
And praise thy name. Hold that. Give me Revelation 19, verse 3. Let's see what his name is, because we like to say that the Bible is very redundant, right? It's from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and 21. The Bible talks about the same thing over and over and over again. It's actually verse 13.
13.
It says the same thing over and over again, right? Is that the Lord's only dealing with the nation of Israel, and that we must keep the commandments and the faith in Christ to get salvation, right? But let's see what his name is. Read.
This is the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
His name is called the Word of God. And go back to Psalms now.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth.
So it says, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness. I will praise your word, right? For thy loving kindness. Hold on. Get Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Let's see what the word is now. Again, precept must be upon precept. This is the greatest information that has ever been offered to anybody on this earth. You think it's going to come freely and just be given to you by saying, ha, Jesus? Hell no, it ain't given like that. It's written as a big parable and an allegory because it's not meant for everybody to unlock it. But to unlock it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all they that have a good understanding are they that keep the commandments. You
right.
have to be keeping the commandments to understand the Bible anyways. It's not saying a certain name or keeping a certain language. That's not how it works. But read that.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word.
If they speak not according to what?
If they speak not according to this word.
To the law and to the testimony. We must be speaking with this word. Read.
It is because there is no light in them.
It says there's no light in them. Right? The law and the testimony. The word is the law. So now go back to Psalms 138 verse 2 again.
This is the book of Psalms chapter 138 verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple.
We worship toward Jerusalem because that's our homeland that those bastards now currently dwell in. But read on.
And praise thy name.
And praise thy name because his name is the word of God. His name is the word of God. Read.
For thy loving kindness.
For thy loving kindness. Read.
And for thy truth.
And for thy truth. Hold that. Psalms 119, verse 142. Precept must be upon precept. Psalms 119 and verse 142. Let's see what the truth is.
Just the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
And the what's truth?
And thy law is the truth.
Because you speak to a Christian, right? They'll say law, love, grace, peace, sanctified, whatever.
Justified,
holy. They'll say all these things in one sentence, but not knowing that all those things are explained within the Bible.
Right.
The Bible, it's its own dictionary. Glossary, thesaurus. That's why in Isaiah 34 it says that this Bible stands alone. You can't mate it with no other book. You don't have to go outside of the Bible to explain itself. You can go precept upon precept in the Bible to explain what all these things mean. So the truth is the law. It says, and we will praise the Lord for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Read.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Uh-oh, there it is. So God says, listen, you can call me whatever you want, but as long as you keep my commandments, that's what I'm going to honor.
Right.
It says he's magnified his laws above any title that you want to call them. Give me Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You can call him whatever you want. But if he ain't keeping commandment one, then it's all null and void.
It's the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
So now we know this is the prophecy that Isaiah is talking about Christ, right? And that child that was born and that son that was given, whose government will be on his shoulders, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus the Christ, right? Read on.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
And his name shall be called Wonderful. Read.
Counselor.
Read.
The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
So now it says his name shall be called all these different things. In this one verse, we just read four different titles.
Right.
So then which one is correct? But they're just that. They're titles.
Right.
They're nicknames. It's whatever you want to call them. If you want to pray and say, hey, listen, all praises for the Wonderful Counselor. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's what he is, because his counsel comes through this.
Right.
The application comes through this. The Prince of Peace will have peace on the earth because we're applying this. Right. Black lives will really matter once we apply the second great commandment and start killing each other over shoes and colors and street corners.
Right.
So then his name is the Prince of Peace because we're applying his commandments. And I'm loving you like I love myself, and so on and so forth. Titles and all these vague things, it's all going to come to naught when the Lord returns, because he's going to give us his true thing. Get that real quick. What's that? Revelation 3, verse 12?
Even for the pure language?
No, Revelation 3, verse 12. About him giving us his name. Revelation 3, verse 12.
This is the book of Revelations. Chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
It says him that overcometh, all right? Him that overcometh. You have to overcome all the doctrines of devils. You have to overcome the adversity, the tribulations, the trials. You have to overcome all these things that this man has set up against us as a people. You have to overcome all these philosophies and ideologies that have been so embedded into our people, including our family and close friends. When they say you're in a cult, you're different, you're this, you're that, you have to overcome those things, because point of living 80 years in vain when you can live forever in the kingdom of God. But that's the thing. That's what faith comes in, right?
Right.
What we get now is not tangible. There's no reward for what we get now. It's actually very burdensome. To the carnal mind, because you're losing out on jobs and friends and substance and everything else. But to hell with that. Moses would rather suffer affliction with his people rather than enjoying pleasures of sin for a season.
Right.
That's the mindset that we all have to have. But it says, when you overcome those things, you will be a pillar in the temple of my God. You will be a leader. You'll get the reverence and praise. And guess what? Those things never come to pass. Those things never end.
All right.
We can't even fathom living forever, but you will be a pillar in the temple of God. Read.
And he shall go no more out.
Meaning go no more into captivity. No more ever will we have to get the Rona stimulus checks.
Right.
No more will we ever have to get all these unemployment benefits and everything else, because of all these things shook our world so much that we have no control over. Those things won't happen no more. No more yokes of iron. No more slave ships. No more nothing. We're now in control. We're now in power. Read on.
And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name.
So now, unbeknownst to Christianity, when it says which comes down from heaven, it just means that when we have these nations in servitude and doing our bidding for us, building up our kingdom, because listen, God's a just God, and you'll have the whitest of white Christians tell you, yeah, God's just. Well, then wouldn't it be just that we built this kingdom? You got to build ours?
Right.
That's just. That's right. Just with God. So when it says it comes down from heaven, that means it's going to be so beautiful and immaculate, and all these Gentiles will bring in their riches. It's going to look like it came down from heaven from God. But it says, and I will write upon him my new name. So you mean to tell me that you out there teaching that you have to say a particular name to get salvation, that when the Lord stands in front of you to give you your palm and your crown, you're going to say, no, it's okay. Move on to the next one. I got you.
What?
I already knew.
Right.
Hell no. It ain't going to be like that. It's not to say that you won't get salvation if you subscribe to that name. But we're all going to be in line. Lord's will, we all make it, right? 144,000 of us leaders given a palm on our hands and a crown on our heads. And he's going to say, my name is boom.
And then you'll have the name.
Then we'll have the name. Because then at that point, we'll no longer be in these earthly bodies, but we'll be transformed into those godlike figures. And we'll be able to handle the power of his name. The same thing that, like, we couldn't see the Lord before, otherwise we would die. His name will do the same thing for us. It has that much power in it. From there, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. So listen, nobody has the name, all right? Nobody, no, I'm sorry. You said Zephaniah 3 earlier, right?
Yeah.
That's about language, right?
The pure language. I believe it is. 3:9.
Zephaniah 3 verse 9. Let's get that first. About 10 minutes. Did 50 minutes on the name itself. Jeez. All right.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 9.
Start at verse 8.
Verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord.
It says, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, meaning vengeance is of the Lord. We have to wait upon him. No picking up arms and doing these things against these nations. Wait upon him. Read.
Until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation.
Because that's his determination, is to be a just God and recompense those that troubled us.
Right.
But those things are of the Lord. We have to wait on those things. That's our faith and our salvation, read on.
Even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
Mm.
For then will I turn to the people.
For then, when he gathers all nations and pours out the fire of his jealousy. Now, I don't think this is going to pass yet.
Right.
He hasn't gathered all nations yet, nor has he poured out the fire of his jealousy. So we're still waiting on this prophecy to come to pass. It says, for then, after he does these things, explain in verse 8, read on.
For then will I turn to the people a pure language.
Then we'll get the pure language. No more will it be tomato, tomato.
Right.
It would just be tomato.
Or potato.
Or potato. Right. Who knows, right? Who knows on that day?
Right.
No longer will it be all these differences in languages and names. We're all going to call upon him in one. But read on.
That they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
It says, and then we can call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
Right.
No longer all these different things of you said this and I said that and you said this and I said that. No, we're all going to call him on the same thing. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 28 and verse 10. Isaiah 28, verse 10.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 10. For a precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept.
That's why we always say it. Precept must be upon precept. You can read a little bit here and get one word here, but you jump to a completely different part of the Bible and get the full understanding of what was being said right there. All the prophets and all the men of God, they always quoted each other. Paul didn't come on the scene and was like, you know what, let me do my own thing.
Right.
He always quoted the Old Testament, but it says precept must be upon precept. Read.
Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little.
Here a little and there a little. Read on.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his...
It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, meaning another language. So if you're in the landmass known as Africa, there's multiple languages over there. That's why there's multiple translations of the Bible over there. If you're down in South America where they speak Spanish and Portuguese, there's multiple Bibles down there for you as well. French, Italian, English,
right,
so on and so forth. So when we go out and we prophesy, it would be completely unprofitable for me to gather 20 brothers and say, hey, listen, we're going to go bring the word down in Brazil where they speak predominantly Portuguese. That would make no sense.
Right.
That's to no edification for our people. So Go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, and you know what? Start at verse 3.
All right. It's the book of...
Minutes.
Thank you.